Hi, welcome to Master's Choice Podcast, Episode 2. Thanks for joining us today. Today on our podcast, we have with us Cullen Johnson, our plant breeder here at Master's Choice, talking today about our winter nursery and what's going on with that, as well as inbred development and how that cycle goes. Joining us for a little while in the studio was Kyle Vosburgh, talking about their recent trip to Puerto Rico and all of the R&D plant breeding things going on down there. So with that, we thank you for joining us today and hope you enjoy podcast number 2. Good morning. This is Mark Kirk with Master's Choice. We want to welcome you to the second ever MC podcast this morning. Our first podcast last week, we had the owner Lynn Crabtree with us, and so really enjoyed that with him last week. This week we have our plant breeder. We have the guy in charge of putting males and females together and breeding corn hybrids. And so Cullen Johnson, welcome to our second episode of MC Podcast. So just kind of explain to us a little bit about who you are, where you kind of come from, and then kind of where you are at Master's Choice, what's going on. Just kind of a brief introduction so that guys out there can kind of get a picture of that in their mind.
Well, first off, I'd like to say thanks for having me. It's a something that I've been excited about for the last
few weeks. Made me invite you.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I see that now. Well, a little bit about myself. I've been breeding corn for the past 10 years. Had been doing a doing business as with my father at back in Farmersburg, Indiana. And we had been breeding corn, like I said, for 10 years, just utilizing material that we could get our hands on. Making novel selections, and really we were selecting for yield and harder grain. And then that kind of turned into more from a summer project into kind of a career going into Purdue University for my undergraduate. Got out there in 4 years, graduated last summer, last May in 2016. And right after, I came down here and started working full time and loving every bit of it. A little bit about what I do is, like you said, putting the males and females together, but also I'm also developing those new males and females that we can make combinations for in our hybrids. It is a little bit different since what I was doing at home because we were breeding for grain and yield and how much bushels per acre we can push on a field. It's a little bit different now being here is that it adds an extra selection step, and it kind of changes up how I view breeding, and not just for how much bushel per acre we can get on the farm, but how much energy per acre, how much available usefulness.
Absolutely.
We can get out of
it. So how hard was it for you to come out of more of that row crop grain production type atmosphere and environment? How hard was that for you to come here and then listen to a guy like me talk about NDFD 30s and starch digestibility and then kind of morph that into a breeding program? How hard was that for you to make that transition?
That was it was kind of difficult actually, because for eight, nine years essentially, I had been conditioned to think, select hybrids that can go on higher populations, or select inbreds that can go on higher populations, select inbreds that have a higher density of the kernel, and less of that available starch. And so when I kind of had an idea I was going to come here about 6 months before I was going to graduate, and I was kind of dedicated to trying something new. I wanted to kind of just get away from school, essentially, for about 6 months. And so I was like, well, I've had a pretty good relationship with Master's Choice. What if I just come down there? And so what I did is my last semester I took animal nutrition class.
Yeah.
To kind of get my mind wrapped around a little bit, maybe good. Get some of the terminologies that we can all speak.
Absolutely.
Back and forth. So it kind of helped that way, but still, when I got in here, I was still thinking, what if we just put 40,000 kernels out, and we just get tonnage.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so one of the things for me that I really appreciate about you, Cullen, is this summer we got to be in the breeding nursery together, mm-hmm. and we got to look at plant characteristics, mainly phenotypic type stuff, mm-hmm. and then for you to kind of help me figure out, okay, you know, how do we go and select for the genotype, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, because I can look at a plant and go, okay, you know, we need some leaves that look like this, and we need plant height like this, and we need an ear and a kernel structure that looks like this, and then for you to be able to impart to me, you know, okay, now this is how we can go about doing this with the genotype and not just with those phenotypes, those physical characteristics that I can look at and I can see and measure. And so I really appreciate you being open to that and allowing us to kind of to blend those two together. And that's what's really been exciting for me, is because I can look at silage samples and grain samples and all of these things as an end result, mm-hmm. But being able to really get in there with you and say, all right, how do we meld these together, mm-hmm. has been really cool for me. So then I'll lead you in with this question: how cool has it been to work with me?
Oh, I see. Well, it's actually been a very beneficial relationship we've had together. And, you know, what I did in the nursery, and something to kind of get you excited about what I was doing.
Absolutely.
In the nursery was allow for you to make a selection and out in the field. And so I do that just because it kind of gives you an incentive to
Absolutely.
Kind of follow up with it.
Absolutely.
And to see it move through the program. But yeah, it's been a very good pleasure working with you, and excited to see what these many years here on out will bring. I know that as my breeder's eye to select for things will change, you know, I think that's going to be kind of morphed by kind of what you help me see out in the field, and then some things that maybe I can help you see.
So for those of you who are listening, Cullen and I, we kind of share an office. And so it's really cool that not only do we get to work out in the field together, but we share an office. We also share an office with a guy named Kyle, and you'll get to hear from him in just a little bit, as he's gonna kind of guest studio this morning. But you know, Cullen, it's not just that. It's when we're researching or we see something. You know, there have been many times that I've said, "Hey, how hard would it be?" Just the other day, how hard would it be to breed something with a very specific characteristic? You know, mm-hmm. we were talking about higher proteins, higher crude mm-hmm. proteins, and then some amino acid profiles, and it was something that I was having a conversation with somebody else. You happened to be at your desk that day, and we got to really discuss that and really think about mm-hmm. what some of those things might look like. In the same, I think it could be said of you. There's times that you've you know, leaned around the wall, so
yeah.
to speak, and asked me those questions. And so that interaction to me makes us very unique in the marketplace. And being able to do both of those things and have them related and so closely together, I think absolutely sets us different than most corn companies. Well, you know, we mentioned him a minute ago, and so we're gonna invite Kyle Vosburgh in for just a second, you know, because you know we didn't want to bring the attitude and the information down too much. I'm just kidding, Kyle. Kyle, I found out years ago, Kyle is not an idiot. All right, Kyle is not an idiot, and that's kind of been a long running joke here at Master's Choice. And so Kyle, welcome to the second episode of the MC podcast.
Thank you.
And you know, you work kind of alongside of Cullen, and you really kind of take it the step past what Cullen does. Cullen breeds the plants and he selects the inbreds, and then he puts those inbreds together to form that hybrid. And then in some ways, not that we totally hand it off, but because we all kind of work together in that, but you kind of take the lead in evaluating those. And so you evaluated some of those this year in Puerto Rico. Tell us what you saw.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a little bit My background, we make the joke about, you know, not being an idiot. My background was actually production, was actually kind of
We didn't realize you had a background.
Yeah. you know, through those years of working in the field and whatnot, I paid very close attention to what was going on. So learning seemed to come easy to me here. And as I moved into my role in R&D, it became noticed, I guess, by a lot of you guys that, oh my goodness, he's been paying quite the attention for the past couple years. So attention to detail actually is kind of a big thing on the agronomic side. And I do get to work a little bit between both of you guys. It's a different experience. We all have very different personalities.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, and it works really well. And as for Puerto Rico this past year, I think it gave... In the past, I've gone with other members of MC that I kind of have somewhat similar personality types, but with Cullen, I think we work off of each other a lot better. I think that our personality types differ so much that we see two completely different plants, and so we're seeing two sides of a hybrid.
So as an indication of your different personalities, you both have different styles of music that you would prefer.
Yeah.
And so does that ever become a fight over the radio in the truck as you're driving down the road?
Well, okay, so normally, yes, it's who gets to the truck first. But in Puerto Rico, we did not have that luxury. There is only a few English-speaking radio stations, and they are the hit stations. Yeah. And they only play 8, 9, 10 current classic or current hits.
So pop music?
Completely pop music that you would hear on your normal.
Okay.
And Cullen decided that he wanted to help the media and marketing team as much as possible by putting a GoPro in the car while we were in Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Well, when you've been in Puerto Rico for 3-4 days now, and the only person you've really had contact with is Cullen, you find yourself singing to pop radio quite often. Yeah. So I'm sure there's actually some B-roll of me just going to town on some of these pop songs in the car before I actually realized that it had all been recorded.
So has he converted you away from Red Dirt?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
in fact, sometimes I will play some of this Texas Red Dirt country, and he'll know a couple of the artists, and then he'll play music, and I'll realize I heard it about 5-6 years ago at a party. So I'll be like, oh yeah, I used to listen to that well before I was married.
Absolutely. So you two guys, you know, we all three share an office. We work very close together, which I think is paramount for the success of our breeding program, of our hybrid selection program, and we get to feed off of and everything. And you know, and what's interesting is I also get to hear kind of your phone conversations when people call in and ask mm-hmm. questions. I think it's great, and this is a kudo to both of you all, is that somebody can come in with a pretty good nutrition question, and especially some of the nutritional qualities of our hybrids, and both of you have no problem answering that. So when you learn from the best, then it becomes easier to do that. So you were in Puerto Rico. Is that the only place that we do winter type work?
No, so actually we've been this summer or what summer winter this winter we have utilized three different locations because it is close and easy access for us. SIU's campus in Carbondale, just up the road about 20 minutes. We utilize their greenhouse to do some gene type of stuff, and I can explain that a little bit later on when we go through the breeding scheme of what I do. But we utilize that one as a close resource. We also have a location in Eldred, Illinois, just north of St. Louis, and Michael Lake is the manager there, and he's doing a lot of our hybrid seed increases, inbred increases, anything we want to keep a close management on. We also do some of our AP testing there as well to make sure that there is not any presence of any traits within inbred.
Absolutely, and they may have some folks, some listeners may have seen a daily vlog on that mm-hmm. on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, that was one of our first vlogs. Was explaining how important genetic purity is to our parent seed lines.
Absolutely. Yep. So you do some of that work in Eldred, and we talked about Puerto Rico a minute ago. So what exactly did we have going on in Puerto Rico this year?
Yeah. So on Cullen's side, you know, he had a full winter nursery. So, which is quite a daunting task, I would say. For a guy to do a nursery over the summer here in the States, it's very time consuming and very hands-on. But when you do it in a satellite location like Puerto Rico, a lot of the responsibility is placed on the person who owns the land or the company you work through. And then you show up for 10, 14 days, and it's extremely labor intensive. And the thing about nurseries and pollinations that a lot of people don't understand is the window for work during a day is very short. It's from about 9 a.m. to maybe 1 or 2 p.m. is when the pollen flies. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, short work day. Well, no, you have to get that whole work day into those few hours. And it is very just one after the other. And when you're in a nursery that like Cullen's, where he has it in his mind and you're his helper, you basically follow him around like he's Queen Bee. Yeah. So,
Been there, done that.
So,
yeah.
So you follow him around, but you want to be as much help as possible because you know this is extremely important for upcoming nurseries and upcoming work.
So Cullen, you had how many novel crosses? How many things were you looking at this year?
So for our development side of the nursery, we had about 300 rows. Okay. So new every row out there was a new inbred line that could work through the program. We also had some inbred increases that we just wanted to get a little bit more seed stock back so we could do something this summer with. And then we also had some hybrid crosses as well, so that we could also produce a little bit of test seed for us to kind of sprinkle the pixie dust around to a bunch of locations here in the States and see, is this something we want to move forward with? Maybe do a little bit more of a production from upcoming years. We also do grow outs in winter nursery as well. That is where we have taken from last summer, we had created a novel cross we would like to see, taking about 100 seeds of that, put it in Puerto Rico and grow it out so we can kind of start seeing those characteristics before they come back to the States that next growing cycle here this next summer. Just so we can kind of have an idea before we even get it.
Absolutely. Here. Absolutely. So you talked a little bit about the growing cycle or the R&D cycle. Explain that to somebody who's never been there, who doesn't understand how we go about that R&D cycle. Explain that a little bit for us, Cullen.
So for the breeding side of that R&D cycle, it takes about 8 growing seasons to get a finalized product between making the novel cross, between 2 inbreds to make a development across, making selections out of that for whatever characteristics you want to see, whether that's lower test weight, higher stock sugars, increased protein contents, things like that. Making those selections for about 6 cycles, and by the time that 8th cycle comes around, you have a novel inbred, which we can start making hybrid crosses up with and start testing to see, is this something we want to move forward with? The reason why
here's a question. In the process of that, we're not just looking at does it stand, does it yield. We're also in that development, even in that inbred development, we're looking at nutritional qualities.
Yes.
Yeah, and so it's not just okay, we're gonna make something that looks good and that yields well, and then we're gonna throw it to Mark and say, okay, now let's see if this works or make it work, or I think this will work for nutrition a little bit, you know. So even in that process, even in the inbred development process, we're bringing in nutritional testing. We're bringing in the idea of this plant or this inbred is specifically designed to bring nutritional qualities into our hybrids, right?
And that helps with, you know, your job essentially.
Yeah,
because if I'm helping to select for those certain nutritional characteristics we want to see later on in the final product in our hybrids. If you start from the beginning with that mindset of keep looking for things that could have a nutritional enhancement, then overall it just makes the hybrid combination process and getting into lineup a lot easier.
Well, and so many times when it comes to developing and building hybrids, so much is called, or what we call called, but or thrown away. So many times you're making things and they don't work. And so when we're making
hold on. Let's take. Could we do that here with employees?
Yes.
Okay. So Kyle, thanks. Thanks for being with us all today. Just kidding. There are a lot of things that I would not want to do around here that you do.
Yeah.
Really do appreciate you.
Yeah.
But still, there's some days I'm thinking maybe he's a cull.
Yeah. Well, there have been times. Yeah. And once in the past, Mark tried to pull a prank on me that he was leaving Master's Choice, and it got very emotional very quick. Basically, you know, a lot of times the conversations we have in our office are kind of hybrid hypotheses. We have ideas, and knowing the nutritional backgrounds of inbreds and parent lines allow us to make less mistakes. Not to sound prideful, but when we know the backup and the nutritional qualities of those inbreds, it makes it a lot easier, because when we say we want to make this cross, we already kind of have an idea of what we want to see nutritionally from that cross.
Absolutely.
And if it doesn't match that, it's so much easier to get rid of it and move on to the next thing.
Absolutely. So, hey, Kyle, we really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Absolutely.
And being part of this and the knowledge. And we appreciate you letting us pick on you a little bit.
Absolutely.
And everything. And so really like working with you. And we'll catch up with you.
Yep.
We'll catch up with you on a podcast sometime. But
absolutely.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. So Cullen, we have been kind of discussing what was going on this winter and winter nursery and Puerto Rico and everything. But here we are, right on the cusp of spring. So where are you headed now? What's next? Where are you going? Where are you going this spring?
Well, next is planting season. But prior to that, I need to get everything ready, planning for the planting season, where I'm going to put it, what I need to put down for my...
Where are you going to put what? What are
nursery,
we talking about
the
here?
Nursery.
Okay, the nursery.
The nursery for this summer. actually, for the last 3 months, I have been intensively going through and packaging seed, getting it ready, lined up, where I want certain inbreds and populations of selection populations I'm wanting to put out. And so basically for the last 3 months, I've been in planting mode, even from January.
I've been
in planting mode. And now that it's getting closer, I'm pretty excited to get out of the office just to begin with, but start going out and planting corn and watching it grow and start getting back into the rhythm of doing pollination.
So are we bigger than last year? Twice as big? Half as big? Where are we at?
So we are about 12 times as big as
12
last.
12 times as big.
12 times as big. I had projected back in last summer we were going to be about 8 times as big, but now we are 12 times as big in our nursery size and amounts of germplasm we are using.
And I can justifiably say that I know that there are times that I say, hey, are we gonna look at this? And you're like, well, we weren't planning on I appreciate you in that material. So so what at the end of this year, okay, what's wrap this up with a couple of goals that you say, okay, this will be a successful nursery, this will be a successful planting season if I accomplish this. What would that look like?
Well, getting seed back, that's a quantifiable thing at the end of the year, I can say, but I would really like to get our inbred populations blown up. I would like to have a good 4-acre nursery of inbred selection acres. That would be a very easily attained goal this coming year, especially because our germplasm base has grown so much. I think last summer we had about 150 inbreds that I had brought in and put underneath my wing that I had known about, and now I've got it up to about 480. So increasing that germplasm pool, starting to make new combinations there, just continuing that R&D selection cycle, that eight season selection cycle, continuing that year in and year out. So every year we're pulling out a new inbred, maybe 4, maybe 5, somewhere right in there.
Good deal. Hey, Cullen, thanks for joining us today. You guys out there who are listening, We appreciate you joining us. You know, maybe this has sparked some questions. Maybe this has sparked some interest in things. And you can get us on Instagram. You can get us on YouTube. You can get us on Facebook if you've got questions or comments or anything like that. So look us up there. We appreciate you guys. And today's podcast number two, was brought to us by the accounting department at Master's Choice, okay? Counting receipts so nobody else has to, right? And but anyway, we appreciate you guys joining us for this second episode of the MC Podcast.